Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said, did you ever have one of those days when the only thing that goes off as planned is the alarm clock? We appreciate the opportunity of studying with you today. We're glad you're listening to Bible Meditations, and we encourage you to tell others about the program. We certainly want to reach as many people as we possibly can, and we solicit your help along this particular line. All right, let's get to our study for this week, and we're looking at a passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and as we begin reading, we'll look about verse 13 for our beginning, and we'll talk about the things that are stated in this particular passage. Paul is writing a letter to the church at Thessalonica. It's a congregation that has been established through the teaching of Paul, and the gospel that was given to them was the gospel whereby they could be saved. Now Paul says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because," and then he gives the reason that he thanked God. Now what a great thing it is to a church to have the Apostle Paul saying, "I pray to God for you, and I do that on a regular basis. I do it daily." Well, the brethren at Thessalonica could be encouraged because Paul was praying for them and praying regularly. Then he says, "When you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." The reason, Paul said, that I offer thanks to God for you daily, and I pray for you daily, is the way that you received the preaching that had been given to you. What I preached was the gospel, and you received it as the word of God. You treated it that way, and you didn't receive it like the words of men. Now, I think we realize that no man has more authority than any other man in religious matters. He just simply must confine himself to those things that are taught in the Word of God, or what he has to say has no value. Well, Paul says, what has been said to you came from God, and you treated it right, you treated it in the right manner, therefore you respected it as the Word of God. How often have you had someone come to you and say, "Now, if I were in your shoes, here's what I would do," or "Here's my advice in regard to your conduct"? Now, you may listen to what he has to say, and you may decide, "Well, that man doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm going to turn away from that advice. I'm not going to follow his instructions along those lines, or his advice along those lines." Well, we can do that and get by with it without too much trouble in this life. When a man gives advice, we can say, "I don't want to listen to it," and we can turn away from it. However, when the advice we're talking about is inspired advice that comes from God, we're talking about a different situation. And so Paul told the brethren at Thessalonica, "You treated what we preached to you as though it were the word of God, which effectually works in you that believe." Well, that's the proper attitude. They treated the word of God in the right way. We're aware of the fact that in our world today, one of the top sellers every year, as far as books are concerned, is the Bible. We look at the Bible being the number one bestseller, and people throughout the world get their Bibles and read their Bibles. But the question is, do they get it and read it and follow it, treating it as the Word of God? Or is it true that they're treating it like the words of men? Well, I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that many people, even though they claim to believe the Bible, have great disrespect for the Word of God. They don't even treat it in a manner that they would treat the words of some men. Sometimes it's less than that. Well, what we would like to do in our study is to point out to you the proper manner of treating the Word of God. How should I treat God's Word? What is my attitude toward the Word of God? A passage that we're very familiar with in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God. The word study means to be diligent about. You diligently pursue along this particular line. Give diligence that you study very carefully those things that are taught in the Word of God. And so he says that we look into the Scriptures and we rightly divide the Word of truth. The Bible is a book which must be handled just like any other book in a logical manner. People don't pick up a history book and just let it fall open and begin reading it and then try to make sense out of what is being said the next day when they pick the same book up and let it fall open to another chapter. It has to be systematically studied. Did you ever hear tell of someone deciding they're going to study math, and so they get a math book and they start at the back of it? Well, they don't do it that way. There must be a systematic study of it. That's the reason the Bible has been divided into various classes or various subject matter, and the Bible ought to be studied in that way. In other words, we come to the New Testament, and there it's very clear that there are different kinds of books in the New Testament. The first four books in the New Testament tell of the life of Christ. And to summarize the reason for their writing, you look at John chapter 20, 30 and 31, and you find John saying, "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Well, very clearly we can see then that the Word of God has been given, these books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to make us believe or give us the evidence that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But the next book in the New Testament is not that same manner of book. The next book in the New Testament is the book of Acts, and it tells us about the Acts of the Apostles. Apostles were men chosen by the Lord to carry a message into the world. The book of Acts is a book which tells what they did and tells of their journeys and tells of their efforts to preach the gospel of Christ throughout the world. Well, it becomes apparent that those are two different kinds of books. If I wanted to know about the life of Jesus, I wouldn't be looking in the book of Acts. I'd be looking at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But if I wanted to know of the Acts of the Apostles and the history of the church in its very beginning, I'd turn to the book of Acts. So they're different purposes. The next 21 books in the New Testament are books that tell of how to live the Christian life, Christianity put into practice. And these books tell very clearly how that we behave ourselves as a child of God. The last book in the New Testament is the book of Revelation. It is written in a form that has highly figurative language, and there are many things about it that are difficult to understand. Some people, however, have looked at the book of Revelation and thought, there's a good place for me to begin my study of the Bible. I'll turn to the book of Revelation and I'll begin my study of the Bible with that particular book. Well, in essence, what we're doing is we're going to the last book in a math book, the last chapter of it, and we're going to begin our study there. Doesn't make sense, does it? And that's what people have done in their study of the Bible. They'll read about some of the things in the book of Revelation that they don't understand, and then come back with the idea, the Bible's too hard to be understood. Well, not so. when it's treated properly. We appreciate studying with you today. We hope you'll listen again tomorrow. Remember, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you.